feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like clapping my hands. body. He touched my mind. He saved us just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Every day He's just the same. I'm gonna praise Him.
Let's lift our hands once again. Let's love Him tonight. Amen. Oh, I truly believe God has something special here tonight. He's wanting to do in this service. We'll just come together once again in one mind and one accord. And let the Lord have His way in the name of Jesus. My God, You know what we need here tonight. Oh, we come before You once again with great faith in our hearts here tonight. Oh, believing in the miraculous. We're believing in the healing, whatever the need is tonight. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This is an apostolic church. Amen. Where we come to lift our voice. Amen. We come to magnify Him. King David said, I'll praise Him in the morning. I'll praise Him in the noontime. I'll praise Him in the evening. Oh, but His praise shall continue to be on my mind. I got to praise Him. Why? Amen. He's done so much for me. I said, He's done so much for me. Amen. Nobody knows like I know. There's many of you out there. Nobody knows like you know what the Lord has done for you, where He's brought you out of. Amen. Aren't you truly thankful tonight? You're no longer a slave of sin tonight. Amen. But He set you free. How many are thankful that you're free from sin tonight? Are you truly thankful tonight? Can it be shown in your praise tonight? Can it be shown in your worship tonight? Oh, come on, church. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen, 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 amen. There are many souls in this city that are lost, amen, that don't know truth. They don't have Jesus. They don't have the truth like we have it, amen. We are blessed people tonight. But in return, we're going to give, amen. Everybody say give. We need to give of ourselves, amen, into the kingdom of God. Amen. It's so good to have Rodolfo Ramos in the house of the Lord tonight. Leonard Rodriguez, so good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. And many of all of our other guests, if I don't have your names, I do apologize. But we're so thankful that you're here tonight, and you may be seated. Amen. God is good. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord here tonight. Sister Rosario.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You think I would get used to being up here all the time, but it's hard sometimes. was talking after the banquet how Jesus gave himself so that we could live eternally. And I see how much Pastor Francis Bale does. Some of you guys might not think so. And I don't even know all, but what I have seen, they give their all. And they love you guys. They may not know each and every one of our lives, but they love souls. And they want to see those that are lost. They want to see them saved. Pastor and Sister Hale, on behalf of New Life Tabernacle, we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we pray that your pains and aches go away. And even if they don't, you know one day when you're in heaven, why do you be dancing on the streets of gold, pain-free? And you guys don't know how much I love Pastor and Sister Hale and all that they've done and all that they put up with us with their rotten attitudes. And I can honestly say that because at times I do have a rotten attitude. That's why I say it. And some of us, you know you have it but don't want to admit it. But that's okay because we see it. But if we're, this is to the church family, not to the visitors, just the church family. And to the visitors, our pastor and his wife really love you guys. They love your souls. They want to see you saved. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. We don't move as fast as we used to. But we are thankful for another year that God has blessed us with you. Amen. And I'm thankful so much for that.
Say thank you for the gift. You're always faithful, and we do love each and every one of you, and this church is our heartbeat, and as long as we're able, we will do. I do as much as I can, and like Pastor said, we are not as quick, but I'm still quick in my heart to do it, but I'm trusting that this next year will be better, but I'm thanking the Lord for what he is doing in the spirit. And I don't know if you feel it or you see it, but God is doing great things in our church, and I'm thankful for that. And without him, we are nothing. And if we didn't have God moving, then I wouldn't want to be here. But this is a place that God has chosen to put his spirit in each one of us. And I'm thankful for all of you that put your shoulder to the plow with us and make things happen. Thank you so much. And we say Merry Christmas to all of you. We won't see you again before then. But I want you to have a blessed Merry Christmas. And we love you.
Amen. Praise God. Now, Sister Hale said she won't see you before then because she's having surgery on Tuesday and she will be totally out of commission for several weeks. Probably a good, I don't know, they said about what, 12 weeks? And we had to get a little scooter for her just to get around the house. And so she's going to go back into her childhood for a little while. Amen. But it's not going to be fun. but she's having an extensive surgery on Tuesday. We do ask for your prayers, and it will be putting me out of somewhat of commission because I have to watch her. I'm going to be counting on my kids to help us because I do need to be here for services, but it will take a lot of our time because she's not going to be allowed to be on her feet whatsoever. And so she's going to be having two surgeries, one right after the other. As soon as one of her feet heal up, then they want to do the other. They said it's necessary. So we're just believing and trusting God. Amen. I like what Sister Rosario said. Amen. We're going to have pain, hurts in this life, but we do have one thing to look forward to. Amen. One of these days, all the pain is going to be gone. Amen. Thanks to the Lord for that promise. I look forward to that day. Amen. I thank you all for my prayers that you have prayed for me. I've had two in the last, 2 months. I've had two procedures done on my back. And the doctor said I probably have another 6 weeks of pain. And he's hoping by 6 weeks my pain will subside and possibly go away like it had before. But we're just trusting the Lord. That's all we can do. Amen. I'm not complaining. I'm not, amen, wanting to have a sob, crying situation in this because I trust the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Pain is not fun. But we still do what we can do, and we do it even when we shouldn't do it. But this is the kingdom of God, and I've told many people the kingdom of God comes first. And if I can't get someone else to do it, I'm going to do it whether it's painful or not. Amen. Because the kingdom of God needs to get completed. We got to do the work for the kingdom of God. I do also want to say to our guests that are here, we're so glad you came. Amen. We really mean that. Amen. And while I'm up here, might as well do some of the things I was going to do, and then we'll give it back to Brother Marin. But first of all, I want to give a great big thank you to everyone that made our annual Christmas banquet a success. Amen. I thank you for jumping on board. I thank you for getting behind the leadership and doing your part. And that just makes it all so complete. And I know Brother Hale and, of course, his wife with her children being sick is out of commission. But Brother Hale and Sister Carrie Lou and then everyone that jumped on board and helped put all of this together all the way from the my goodness, started way back, the planning, the decor, buying all the product that was needed, all of the entertainment. I use it in that term, but it was all great. The food was wonderful. Amen. And the attendance was the largest group we've had. And we're thankful for that. And if you missed it, it's not our fault. Praise God. But we had a good time. Amen. I'm thanking you now for those that did come. This is our annual event, and there's very little things that I am so, I don't know what you want to say, but I want people to be at. One is this annual Christmas event, and I understand, even then, there are things that come up that you just can't be there, and we understand that, and I'm not scolding anyone. I'm just saying I'm thankful for everyone that came out. But I'm telling you, we had a good time. Amen. And I know Sister Vicky, how many times did you want to crucify your son? He played a good part. Amen. And all those that and all those that also were a part of the cast, you could feel the presence of God. And we just want to say thank you. And how'd you like Carol of the Bells? Was that what it's called? It was called Carol of the Bells. And all these young people that got up there on instruments and practiced and put it all together. And we say thank you, amen, for your time of that which you put into it. Thank you so much. Amen. We also want to make mention tonight, Sister Carrie said that she has about 10 bags of the candy clouds available. If you would like to pick some of those up before you leave tonight, I think we're going to bring them to the foyer so you don't have to go all the way down to the kitchen. So this is the week of Christmas, and people usually like to have things like that. So we'll have those available in the foyer tonight after service. Praise God. Thanks again so much for remembering us on this Christmas.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? We're truly blessed, church, to have a pastor and his pastor's wife and family. We love Pastor and Sister Hal. We love you. We're so thankful that God sent you. God knew who to send to Corcoran, I'll tell you that much. We're a bunch of stubborn people here. And you know what? And it takes special people. It's the worst of the worst. How many believe that tonight? A lot of people don't really know your testimony. But I tell you what, they are true believers of Pentecost, apostolic. If you want to look at a couple, look at them. Follow them. And I truly believe that. I mean it with all my heart, because that's what I do. I have failures, but you know what? I get back up because I see everything they put into the kingdom of God. And he just said it right now when he was up here. The kingdom of God comes first. He outsmokes every one of us. So does Sister Hell. I'm so thankful for leadership like that, because they are true. And we're so blessed tonight. That's why we need to worship God when we come to church. We need to pray. Amen. We need to be there for one another because our pastor, Sister Hal, do it. We need to follow suit, church. How many are thankful for your pastor's wife and family tonight? Amen. Let's give honor where honor is due. Come on, church. Let's all rise and hand clap. Where honor is due. We thank you. We're not done. As he's already mentioned, he has lots of dreams that God has been giving him. And, blows my mind when I hear him speak. I'll tell you that. But I'm going to follow suit because I know it's true what he's saying. So we're here to have revival in Jesus' name. Amen? How many believe that? Amen. Let's not forget Monday. There will be no called prayer on Monday. However, we want to continue praying for revival. Everyone say revival. We're in revival. Amen? This city needs revival. A lot of lost souls in this city, a lot of families that are broken, God can bring them back together. How many believe that? The drug addicted, amen, God can sober them up. How many believe that? So let's pray for them. Let's also pray for our backsliders. I truly believe if all our backsliders come home, boy, we'll have a full house. And it's time to build, Pastor. How many believe that? Wednesday night, it's our pastor's Bible study. Let's come expecting, invite someone to the house of the Lord. Let's continue to invite. Amen. That needs to be our heartbeat, is to invite, invite, invite in Jesus' name. And let's not forget, after Wednesday, it's a family week begins, Monday the 27th through the 1st. However, we want to continue praying in Jesus' name and just be sensitive to those that are around us, because I truly believe God is moving amongst us in our city. Amen. A lot of souls out there. Amen. And we just need to be sensitive. Be ready to tell them your story. Amen. Don't be ashamed of your story. Amen. Let them know where the Lord has brought you from. Let them know how God delivered you. Let them know how free you are, how good you feel. Amen. You're no longer bound by sin. Amen. How many have joy unspeakable in them? How many can lift a hand and say, I'm thankful tonight to be part of New Life Tabernacle. We are a blessed church. Amen. However, we do have many prayer requests here tonight, many that are sick and many that are in need of comfort tonight and strength. And thank God that we know who that is. Amen. He's Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Want to pray. Before I do that, let me make this announcement. Please announce the sanctuary will be open tomorrow night for prayer at 6 through 8 p.m. Cleaning will be at 8 p.m. Before I forget. Amen. Someone say praise the Lord. The Navarro family, want to pray on behalf of the Navarro family for the passing of Dago Navarro. Want to pray for the family that God will give them strength and comfort in Jesus' name. Also for Vicente Castillo tonight. This is Sister Rachel Carrillo's aunt. She is in the hospital, needed healing tonight. Also for Ananias Sanchez tonight. Amen's in the hospital. A baby that is in critical condition in the hospital. Parents are asking for church to pray. Also for Robert Moya tonight, had to be rushed to the hospital. We need to pray for Robert. Also for Junior Gilbert Lamb tonight, broke his bones, fell down. Thank God that we know who the healer is tonight in Jesus' name. Also for Sister Rachel Carrera and family, for strength for the family of the passing of her Uncle Tom Castillo, who's passed away. Want to pray that God will give them comfort and strength. Also for Sister Sharon Hensley tonight, is need a prayer. As we already mentioned, Sister Hale is going to be going into surgery on Tuesday night. Want to pray for Sister Hale as well in Jesus' name. Also for Brother Michael and Sister Michaela Morales tonight are sick in body with flu-like symptoms. Want to pray on their behalf that God will bring healing upon their bodies. Also for Anthony Garcia tonight, has in need of special need, in need of healing tonight. Also by the uplifting of hands, if you have a need tonight, want to present your need before the Lord. The word of the Lord as it goes forward once again. I want to pray that God's anointed word will continue doing our work in every heart that is here. Also, as we're going to give our tithing and offering here tonight, the ushers have the bags are going to be ready to collect. Amen? How many have great faith tonight? How many believe we serve a prayer answering God tonight? He's an impossible God. There's nothing that he can't do. Amen. Let's go before our God tonight with great faith as a body of believers, believing that God's more than able to answer every petition here tonight in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray on behalf of the Navarro family. Lord, on behalf of the passing of their loved one, Dago, tonight, the families in need of strength and healing. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, Lord, that you comfort God. Oh, God, upon that family tonight, my Lord, give them comfort and strength. For Vicente Castillo tonight also, who's in the hospital in need of healing, has NICU with this COVID. We rebuke this infirmity in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command it to come out of her body. Make her whole again in the mighty name of Jesus, for you're the great physician, my God. Also for Ananias Sanchez tonight, the baby who's critical in the hospital. Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus for this little child. Lord, let your virtue, Lord, touch this child from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet. We pray that you remove this infirmity in the mighty name of Jesus. We're believing with great faith tonight. Also, on behalf of Sister Hale, my God, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, dear Lord, that you give her the comfort, give her the strength that is needed, my God, that you will guide the hands of the physician. Lord, you are the mighty healer and the great physician. Dispatch your angels, my God, Lord, to minister to her. To continue leading and guiding her. We're thanking you once again in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of a lamb upon her in Jesus' name. Robert Moya tonight, who had to be rushed to the hospital, we pray in Jesus' name that you will minister to him. Lord, that he'll be in good condition, minister. But most of all, we pray for his salvation. Junior Gilbert Lamb, who fell down and broke his bones, we pray that you reattach his bones again. Make him whole again and bring strength unto him. Rachel Carrera and family, my God, they are in need of strength tonight for the passing of Uncle Tom Castillo. Lord, we thank you once again, for you are, my God, the comforter. You said in your word that you will send the comforter in your name. We pray in the name of Jesus for comfort upon this family tonight in Jesus' name. Also for Sister Sharon Hensley tonight, who's in need of healing. Oh, for Brother Micah Michaela tonight, in need of healing tonight, and Anthony Garcia. Also, every uplifted hand here in the house, you know every need as well. Minister to every need. Also, for your word as it goes forward, once again, we pray for your anointed word that it will do a mighty work in every heart that is here. As we give our offering unto you, we give with a cheerful heart tonight. We give with thanksgiving in our heart. We thank you, for you are a great, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. It's time to worship you. Amen. Let's worship him.
I call Jesus my rock. Jesus my rock.
Give him a hand clap. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I know that as humans, you know, that's flesh and blood. A lot of times we're asking God, for things that we have need of. And sometimes we do ask for things that we want. We're asking for God to do the things that we need Him to do. But have you ever just taken the time to thank Him? Just to thank Him. So soon forget to thank Him for the small things, much less for the large things. But it's in times when you are thankful, it just seems like God just opens up, amen, and gives us more blessings than we deserve. And we are truly a blessed people. Amen. I do want to go into the word of the Lord here tonight. And we're going to go to the book of John chapter 5. And I want to read again a familiar setting of scripture that we have not only have heard preached from, but we have heard individuals kind of touch on the subject many times through one's preaching. In John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1, this was a reference, the word after. There were many miracles that Jesus had began to perform. We can start back in the first part of the book of John, and we first of all we read John's revelations of who Jesus Christ was. We read concerning baptism and the importance of baptism and spirit filled. We then find that John begins to reference a lot of miracles that the Lord performed. Even in these first few verses, the Lord even referenced His crucifixion and His being raised from the dead. And there is a purpose in all of this. It just wasn't something that came about, but it was something that was foreknown that was going to happen. And then we come to John chapter 5, and we start at verse 1. It said, after this, speaking of those things that had prior happened, there was a feast of the Jews. It was a Hebrew festival in Jerusalem. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem for this reason. And then in verse 2, it says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. Now, the sheep market, if you have ever studied it out, was a place where they would bring their herds and they would auction them, sell them. And it wasn't a place that smelled good, but it was a place where manure was all over the ground and their waste was present and it could be smelled and it had a stench about it. But there at this place of the sheep market was a pool. It was a pool of water, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, meaning around this pool there were porches. Five porches that were around it. And there, verse 3 tells us, lay a great multitude of impotent folks. People that had sicknesses and diseases. And some were there that were blind, couldn't walk, had withered limbs. They were all around this pool of water, waiting for the moving, the troubling of the water. For an angel would go down at a certain season or a certain time into the pool and trouble, move the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease they had. And a certain man does not give his name, just references him as a man. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity, a chronic ailment, for 38 years. For 38 years, this man had come to this pool on a daily basis for the sole purpose of the waters being troubled, that he could get in and receive his miracle. And so it tells us that for 38 years, he had this chronic infirmity. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus questioned this man who had this infirmity 38 years. Could you imagine me coming up to you and you had an issue and I asked you, I said, "Well, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole?" It's like, duh. The man could have looked at Jesus and could have said, "I've been here 38 years waiting for my miracle." This was a question that Jesus asked this man. But we must remember the Lord knew his condition. So Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Can we pray and ask the Lord if he would speak to hearts here tonight? Lord, I am so thankful for your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for not only for your word, but the truths within the word. We're thankful, Lord, for your promises that you have given throughout the word that we can get a hold of, that we can grasp, that we can live by. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would minister here tonight. Let there be faith that could rise up in our hearts. We know that you're able to do the impossible. We ask you to work among us here tonight in a special way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I do want to preach on this thought. According to the scripture, the Bible said that Jesus saw him. He saw him lie. So the Bible, as I have read from the scriptures, this man's partial life testimony. I want to preach on this thought. You can lay on a lie, or you can stand on the truth. Amen. The Bible says that there was a multitude of feeble, impotent folks that surrounded this body of water, a pool. And they were waiting for the moving of the water. Here was a multitude of people that testified by their very presence that they were in need of something. They were sick. They were diseased. They had an infirmity. They had a body that was riddled with sickness. And so they were there. They would not have been there if they had yet to have heard about when the waters troubled, somebody was healed. Somebody received their miracle. The Bible doesn't tell us the number of those that were there, but it did say that there were five porches amongst the pool, and a multitude of impotent folks were there waiting for the waters to be troubled by an angel, and whoever was in first was going to receive the miracle of their life. So were they were there with the need of something, or they wouldn't have been there. They knew that they couldn't get what they needed anywhere else. For if they could have, they wouldn't have been there. But they were going to then pursue after wherever their need could be met. But they were there. We are gathered in this place today as they were gathered then. Our very presence here is a revelation of the fact that there was a time that we too needed something, or that we need something now from God. And we know that we can find what we need here in the house of God. That is why we are here. What we need is not another bottle of alcohol. It's not in a pill. And it's not in drugs or in sex or in money. The doctors at times cannot even do for us what we have need of. You won't find it in the activities of our world. You can't get your fix, and I use that terminology, your satisfaction, amen, your hunger to be fulfilled in things, in motorcycles or boats or in sports. But what we need is nothing less than a supernatural presence and a supernatural power of a living God. Many times in the scriptures we read where the waters were troubled, were stirred, and because of that, miracles happened. It was at creation when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We find it in Genesis 1. And verse 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. In the flood of Noah, God loosed the waters from above and from below. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 7. God was at the place where sin was rampant, and God chose to destroy the world he created to rid the world of sin. We read another time in scriptures where it was water that brought a salvation. For God made the waters flow in a dry desert. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 19, Hagar and Ishmael were without water, and they were found athirst in a desert place. Alone in the desert, but God gave them a well of water that began to spring up within that desert place. When Moses struck the rock in the wilderness, it poured out 100 million gallons of water in 120 days. When I began to search that out, it amazed me. 120 days, it was over 100 million gallons of water that came out of a rock. In Exodus 17 and verse 6, God's people were found in the wilderness without water to drink. And God, in his mercy, sent Moses just to strike a rock that began to gush forth water that the people could drink from. We have seen God's Spirit move numerous times within the Scriptures. Some were monumental times, and others was just for one. For Samson, God poured water from a donkey's jawbone in Judges chapter 15 and verse 19. Samson had fought against the Philistines by himself. And God used a donkey's jawbone for Samson to destroy his enemies. But when Samson cast aside the jawbone in which God used to give him his victory, he then, because of the battle and the heat of the day, he began to die of thirst. Then God used that jawbone to show Samson, don't ever throw away that which God had used to give you victory. And from that jawbone, God caused water to come forth out of it. It was in Judges chapter 5 and verse 4 that God brought forth a heavenly rain that caused Barak to defeat Sisera. I'm telling you what, God oftentimes uses water for the sole purpose of bringing victory to his people. It was on Mount Carmel that God sent the first rain on a repentant nation after 3.5 years of drought in 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse 42. It was Naaman the leper who was healed by submerging himself underwater at the words of the man of God. The Israelites walked between the walls of water at the exodus of Egypt. Jesus walked on the top of the water in Matthew chapter 14. Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. In John chapter 7 verse 37, Jesus said, if any man is thirst, he said, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water shall flow from within him. By this, he was meaning of the Spirit. God's Spirit is always moved for the benefit of mankind. And if you need the Spirit of God to move in your life, it's up to you. God has made each of us a free moral agent. We each choose for ourselves what we're willing to do to get that which we want. If we want a move of God, it is up to us as individuals to get after it. If we want to see God do a great work in our family, in our homes, we've got to do what we got to do in order to bring it to pass. If you just sit back and wait and just watch others get their victory, get their revival, get their renewing, you may never get it. If you're waiting on someone to package it up just right, put it in your lap, it may never happen. Because you are going to have to get after it for yourself. I remember I read years ago, and it came to my mind as I was looking into this message. It was a story of four men. They were the last survivors of a sea tragedy.
There was four of a multitude of men that were on this vessel. And they were afloat in the open waters in a lifeboat. They were attempting to catch just a few drops of rain. They had a little canvas, and they were doing their utmost best to catch the rain drops from the sky to relieve their tortured thirst. But then a small boat ventured near, and these sailors that were the last on this tragic accident that had happened cried out, "Please give us some water." And the other ship's sailors simply replied, "Just reach over the side and get some yourself. We can't drink salt water. We'll die." "Oh no," they said. "Where you are now is near the mouth of the Amazon River. It carries fresh water many miles out to sea. You're surrounded by fresh water. All you have to do is lower your bucket and drink." And it's the same with us. We are surrounded with the wonderful freshness of the Spirit of God all among us. It's all around us. All we need to do is take advantage of what that which we feel tonight that sweeps through this congregation. If you're waiting on your pastor to bring you revival, to bring revival to you, you may wait a while, maybe forever. We have to get it for ourselves. The man at the pool of Bethesda had been there 38 years in the same condition day in and day out, making excuses why he hadn't got into the pool. You can blame everybody else if you want to, but the real reason we are spiritually dwarfed is because it's me and nobody else's fault. The other needy people around that pool did not wait for the lame man to get in, because there was always somebody quicker, somebody that was feeling more, amen, of a need. And they were very quick to get into the presence of the Lord, because they realized that is where my miracle will be found. Oftentimes in the church house, we're waiting on a certain individual. If they move in the Spirit, then I know that I can move in the Spirit. If the Spirit begins to fall around them, then I'm pretty safe to say that that same Spirit could fall around me. We think revival must come here the way it happened before. But we can keep limiting God, and we couldn't miss it. Can you imagine the scene at the pool of Bethesda? The waters began to get agitated. There was a mad rush to get in. Everybody seemed to be bumping into one another. People are yelling, "The waters are troubled." Oh, how many times have we sat in an apostolic service and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord begins to move And you begin to see it as people begin to react to the presence of God that is in this place. You can sit back, you can stand back and be in awe of what God is doing. Or you can jump in and let the Spirit of God begin to minister to you. Everyone was trying to be the first one into the waters. There was probably a dog pile. Can you imagine it? Hey, if you had a great need, lame, blind, an infirmity, and you knew that, you know, let's just use some our illustration imagination. The Corcoran pool. If you knew that there was a time when those waters began to be troubled and the first one in was going to receive their miracle, their healing, I wonder how many of us would just say, eh. But if we really had a need, if we really had a situation in our life that we knew we needed a miracle, I think there's a possibility you would be amongst the number that would gather around the pool. They were fighting to get in. They were desperate for a move of the waters. There is a truth here. Only those who really wanted it, those who made preparations to get it, expecting, are going to get it. When the waters moved, there was an angel present, and whatever their need was met immediately when they stepped into the waters. When the waters moved, there was a miracle in the water, but only when the water moved. Why? After 38 years, had this man not been first into the pool? Because he never positioned himself appropriately. For those that were first got healed and were blessed. Those who were the closest to the waters. If it had been me, I'd have been hanging over the edge. Every day. Who is going to experience revival in their home and in their families? Those who position themselves close to the Holy Ghost and the moving of God's Spirit. It's those that are expecting. It's those who are preparing themselves, making themselves available, praying in these altars, bringing in the presence of God by worship. I want you to understand, it's not just when our family shows up, but we prepare ourselves. We move when the Spirit begins to move, because we never know when the doors are going to open and our family walks in. It's not going to happen if you stay off at a long off way. Can I use this in the illustration? All of a sudden the presence of God starts moving and we just kind of take a step back and watch. I'm telling you, not going to receive your revival. You're not going to see your families brought in. Why? Because your interest is not present. This pool was no tourist spot. I already spoke about it being near the sheep market. It's a place you don't take your friends to, you know. This is Here, here's the aqueduct here that flows along Interstate 5. Isn't that wild? I mean, if you at the right time, you could actually see the striped bass as they are swiftly moving with the current. We take them up to the sequoias, and we say, oh, look at the beauty of these trees. We take them to Yosemite, and we show them the redwoods, and oh, breathtaking. We show them the waterfalls there in the sequoias or up in the Yosemite. I'm telling you, awestruck. You just don't take your family to the sheep market. It stinks at the sheep market. It's got a stench. It was not a tourist location. You wouldn't go to the garbage dump. Take your friends, your guests. You wouldn't take them to the slums or you wouldn't take them to an emphysema ward while on vacation. And this pool was similar to a hospital. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, he didn't visit the palaces, but he visited places that people were in need. Hospitals. Jesus knew and considered how long this man had lain in that condition. Can you imagine how many times the water was troubled and he hadn't made it in? And how many times has his mind been filled with his enemy's negativism? You're never going to be healed. You're never going to be changed. Your life's never going to be different. Oh, and how many times do people give in to that negative thought and that negative feeling and they just give up? But Jesus knew this man's condition and he had laid in that condition for a long time. Can I say we ought to take courage because God knows how long we've suffered, how long we've hurt, how long you've had this issue within your life and you were troubled by it. But don't you know he cares about you? In whatever state you find yourself in, whether it's mental, how many of you have been attacked in your mind? Amen. The enemy of your soul has tried to convince you it's not worth it. How many times the devil has tried to tell you you'll never receive your miracle. You'll never receive your healing. You'll never see your kids saved. You'll never see your marriage restored. Amen. But David said this in Psalms chapter 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. Can I say tonight, this is you that he is talking about. God cares about you. God is concerned about you. And you might be shocked to know, because you know your past. You know where God brought you from, but he still cares. You might get shocked knowing that God even has plans for you. It doesn't matter what the devil whispers in your ears and tries to tell you you're worthless and tries to tell you that they're no good. But I'm here to tell somebody that's been listening to your adversary, God has a plan for you. He's an awesome God. He's a compassionate God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. In fact, Jeremiah 29th chapter, the 11th verse, he said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope, to give you a future." But you might even be shocked because God doesn't even put limitations on your limitations. Oh, how many times has there been a move of God in our own midst and we take a step back and say, "Oh, I just wish I was worthy enough to get a hold of that. I just wish my life wasn't so messed up that I could get a touch of that." Oh, I'm here to tell somebody, quit limiting God on the limits that you put on yourself. You need to let God blindside you by love. David says he does not treat us as our sins deserved to be treated. Or he does not repay us according to our iniquities. You know what that's telling me? You need to shut the devil's mouth. And you need to realize that God does love you. That God did die at Calvary for you. The enemy's going to tell you, "You've been bad. You've been really bad." But let me tell you instead, amen, that he loves you. Jesus loves you. He cares about your insignificant life that the devil tries to remind you of. Well, let me ask the question, do we really want revival? When Jesus asked the man if he wanted to be healed, I, like you, have read this scripture before and looked at it in a puzzled way. Jesus, who opened blinded eyes, Jesus, who caused the deaf ears to be unstopped, Jesus that raised the dead, saw this man's condition. He knew he was lame, could not walk. And Jesus asked him the question if the man wanted to be healed. It seemed like a crazy question. Of course the man wanted his healing. He is hanging out at the pool. But like Christians today, every service he is asking, "Do you want revival? Do you want your life changed? Do you want something worth living for?" Why is there then a hesitation? And yet not an instant yes. It's because we get comfortable in our lifestyle and in our schedules. And we don't really want to change or be interrupted. But do we want our families saved? Do we want God to touch our city? Or are we comfortable with the thousands that are lost and going to hell? You see, we must realize we are the key to our family and in our city's revival. Revival comes only to those who want revival bad enough. God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, God gives us the condition for revival. The Lord spake through the prophet, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I want to bring it to a modern day rendition of what he is saying here. He said, if you pray, if you humble yourself, if you seek his face, if you turn from your sin, he said, oh, I'm going to hear the sound of an abundance of rain that's going to start falling from heaven, and I'm going to bring your healing, and I'm going to start restoring what the devil has taken from you, and you're going to start seeing, amen, my glory within your midst. So the real question tonight is, do we really want revival? Do we want the infilling of the Spirit? Do we want the miraculous in our lives? Are we truly hungry for God? We got to make up our minds that we want revival so bad that we're willing to pay the price to get the cost of revival in our midst. The proof of desire is in our pursuit. You've got to desire revival so bad that you're going to pursue it eagerly. And the great news is that God's just waiting to pour it out on us. The power for revival is available to whoever wants it. But I picture you as an individual in the same sense as this man at the pool of Bethesda. Are you preparing yourself for revival? Are you ready for the revival? But are you like the man? You're looking at the pool. You're dreaming about the miracle. You're talking about it. You even are singing about it. But are you ready for it? I can imagine this man staring into the water, watching for the slightest ripple, saying to himself, I can't miss it this time. I've missed it before, but I can't miss it again. Shouts are ringing out as the man dozes off for a moment, and the people are screaming, the waters are troubled. And before he can jump in the waters, he missed it again. Somebody else got ahead of him. I'm talking to some of us that are here tonight that we've watched others get their healing. We've watched others see their families come in. We've watched others get blessed. We watched others get promoted. We watched others get new vehicles, and we wonder, why not me? But the Lord said to tell you, it's on its way. He said, don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The Lord said to tell you to take his limits off that you had put on him. Don't restrict him. Oh, how many times have you looked and you saw God bless someone else and you said, God, I want a blessing. God, I want your miracle. God, I want... And the devil whispers in your other ear and says, you're not good enough. He whispers in your ears and said, it's never going to happen. Look how bad you used to be. I'm here to tell somebody, you need to get your limits off God. And God, he is a a God of possibilities. Can I say it in this form? God's spirit was in the pool, but the pool was not God. God's bigger. I said God's a whole lot bigger than the limitations we put on him. Did you know the reason this man missed his miracle? It was because his faith was still attached to the pool. He was expecting his miracle to come from the water. He almost missed his miracle because it didn't come the way he expected it. You need a miracle from God. You have to desire God to give you his miracle. Any form and any fashion that he decides to bring it. But if you're not careful, you can miss his glory. The blessing, the miracle you need simply because it doesn't come in the package you expected. You got to remember, God can use a dirty bird to bless you. God used a raven to feed his prophet Elijah. There are some folks, God sent you a blessing by a raven express, you'd shoot the raven before your blessing ever got to you. You know, there are some people, I've watched this, tongues and interpretations go forth. Someone said one time, they asked me, they said, how come we don't have a whole lot of tongues and interpretation? I said, you get a whole lot from the preaching of the word. You know when God speaks through tongues and interpretation is when the message wasn't delivered as it should have been. And God then speaks to his people through his own voice. Sometimes it's God once again reassuring that his word was what he wanted you to hear. But it doesn't always have to come through tongues and interpretation. You just need to listen. You just need to hear the preached word of the Lord. There's prophetic utterance that comes from the preached word. Many times it's not the devil that keeps us from receiving, but it's narrow-minded religious attitudes that try to tell God how to do his business. Bless me, God, and here's how I want it and when I want it. This man almost missed Jesus with his blessing because he was still, his eyes were attached to the pool. His breakthrough came, but it didn't come the way he expected. He was so locked in to the experiences of the past, the water's got to be troubled, that he thought the only way he could get his breakthrough and his miracle was to get in the crowd, push, kick, crawl, cry, fight, and work his way into the pool. He could not fathom that it to be as simple as just receiving. Your miracle, your blessing, and your breakthrough is here. And it's not in the pool. It's in Christ. And it's not in your works, but it's through your faith. Faith and works, because faith has works, because faith without works is dead. But you can wear yourself out trying to work your way into a blessing, into a miracle. You can wear yourself out trying to make things happen, trying to get people to recognize you, trying to open doors for yourself, trying to get a platform for your gift, trying to convince God that you deserve a blessing, that you deserve a breakthrough, that you deserve that promotion. Yes, faith has works, but faith culminates not in trying, but in trusting. Not in wrestling, but in nestling. How close have you gotten to God through prayer, through fasting? Somebody needs to quit wrestling with God and start nestling with God. I want to encourage somebody tonight who may be on the verge of quitting, not turning your back on God per se, but shutting down, turning off the switch of your faith, and you have questioned if it's even worth it. Somebody's dream is on life support. You're about to pull the plug. You've been in the fight of your life, and you just don't feel like you've got any fight left. To you I say, hold on. Faith never quits. Quitters never win. And winners never quit. The difference between success and failure is getting up one more time than you fail. Faith never quits. Your money may run out. Your feelings may run out. Your friends may even run out. But your faith will carry you through. Never give up. Never quit. Never say die. You never know when the breakthrough is going to come. You never know when that miraculous manifestation shows up. You never know when the door will fly open or when the power of God shows up on your behalf. Years ago, I was in a service, and there was an individual that really had needs in their life, and they weren't there. And the power of God fell. And miracles happened. And this individual heard about it. And she was so disappointed. She was so discouraged. She came to church the next service, and she was pouting. And I remember her being asked, why such the long face? Why do you seem to be so discouraged? And she said, because I missed the outpouring. I missed the miracles. And I'll never forget that individual that was standing there beside her said, you missed it. You missed it. That speaks volumes. We can even sit in the house, and the miracles are falling, and the things of God are taking place, and His glory can even fill the house, and we can be in that midst of His glory falling, and we can still miss it. One of the main ingredients to this man's miracle was his persistence. Even though he had missed his miracle time and time again, and he watched others get into the waters ahead of him, he kept coming. He kept coming. It was his persistence. He had something the old folks called gumption. Some of you young people probably never even heard the word. Gumption. It's kind of like the old-fashioned way of saying they got grit. They got guts. Or they have a backbone. Gumption is something good to have. It will get you up and get you moving. It's the kind of thing that is a part of your character that won't let you just lie around and be lazy and feel sorry for yourself. But gumption just made this man for 38 years to keep coming to the pool. It made him press through with his pain, press through even in his disappointments, and even in times of discouragement. Everybody needs a little gumption. But gumption alone is not enough. There's one thing to have gumption. There's another thing to have an unction. Unction is another word for the anointing. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power, unction, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." But when gumption and unction come together, you've got some power to function. But he had been this way for a long time. But he never gave up. He woke up on this particular morning and everything was the same. He went through the same routine as every other day. But what he didn't know was that this was the day of his miracle. Jesus came to him. Because according to this man's own words, he kept coming. He may have been outran into the pool. He may have been ran over by others who got into the pool. He may have been crowded out. But his persistence kept him coming. And his persistence got God's attention. He kept coming. He kept coming through his pain. He kept coming through his discouragement. Let me make it a little plainer. He kept coming through his troubled life. He kept coming. He kept coming through his bankruptcy. He kept coming, though he may have been confused. He may have kept coming, though he may have been betrayed. He kept coming, though he may have felt rejection. He kept coming. He may have said, "I've been wounded, but I'm coming." He may have said, "I'm even hurting, but I'm still coming." He said, "I may be confused about the situation, but I'm still coming. I may be battling depression, but I'm coming. I may be dragging my leg, but I'm coming. If I've got to crawl, I'm coming. I've got a made up mind. Even if I have to die, I'm going to die moving in the direction of my miracle." You just got to keep moving. When nobody else is shouting, you shout. When nobody else is running, you run. Why? Because you're sending the devil a message. You're letting the devil know, others may not want this, but I want it because I understand it's my only avenue to a miracle. It's my only avenue to a healing. It's my only avenue for my family to be saved. I think somebody's getting ready to experience some divine favor. What did Jesus say to the man? He simply said, "Rise and take up your bed and walk." And immediately, without any hesitation or any delay, he was made whole. But it was through immediate faith. It was right now faith. It's not the kind of faith that says, "Well, when I get to heaven." It's not one of these days. It's not 6 months from now or 2 weeks, but it's right now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like this man at the pool, like Paul and Silas, like Joseph in the prison, like Daniel in the lion's den, like the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. It may be your midnight hour. It may be the darkest hour of your life. But somebody is getting ready to get to the front of the line. Somebody is making preparation to find that experience. You can't allow your attitude to hold you back. Some may think, well, that's just a little undignified to raise my hands and shout out to God. But can I ask, how bad do you want your revival? I feel in my spirit that there's some among us that you're getting ready to step up. I think somebody needs to put a little more faith into action and start stepping up in your faith. Step into your miracle. Step into your breakthrough. Step up for that husband or that wife you've been praying for. Step up for those children who are running from God, maybe hooked on drugs and messed up in their way of thinking. Somebody's just one step away from their miracle. Just one step away from a fresh anointing. The water's moving. The waters are even being troubled. We're not around a pool tonight, but I'm here to tell somebody Jesus Christ has showed up. Amen. And he's wondering here tonight who is ready to step in to that miracle within their life. Your miracle may not come until you're willing to step in. Your revival may not come until you're willing to step in. I can illustrate it in this form. The Bible says that the Lord has an open door. But until you walk through it, you're never going to receive anything from it. Too many of us are just too satisfied. We're satisfied with what we have when there is so much more to be taken. But you either step in or you're going to watch others step up. But what a mentality you got to have. You're not going to mess with my opportunity, my miracle. Are you making room? I'm closing for your miracle tonight. These altars are open. Who's going to step in? Who's going to step in? When the devil tells you it's not going to happen, you're going to step in. You're going to step in. And when you make that first step, I'm here to tell somebody that God is ready to take the next step.